Unlabeled Leadership is a volunteer service. We appreciate our guests for their stewardship and remarkable stories. We also appreciate listeners like you who back the show with star reviews and contributions.
Gary DePaul with Unlabeled Leadership. Welcome to episode 141, Keith E. Smith on Flipping Your Path. Here's a shout out to listeners in Batna, Algeria, Eagle Village, Guam, and in the United States, Tucson, Arizona, Berkeley, California, Winter Park, Florida, and Cartersville, Georgia. With that, let's get started. Keith Smith is more than the CEO of Vonco Products. He's a business coach, speaker, and even a mentor who helps people with life balancing changes. Keith can help you lead more effectively and have richer connections with the people you work with. Keith is someone worth getting to know. Part 1, Intelligence and Knowledge May Be Necessary, But Not Sufficient. When I talk about leadership, I often talk about 7 principles. The principles are so simple, they're easily misunderstood. One of them, when done right, builds trust, relationships, and credibility. The principle is called Connect with Others. In this story, Keith shares his journey to building connections with the people around him and his authenticity. Here's Keith to explain.
I'll start with what somebody said to me, and it was my now ex-wife that says, I want a divorce. This was in 2019. We had been together 16 years and really created a great family together. Over the years, though, we had drifted apart and struggled to find connection along that way. Lots of downs through that period of time. That was something that I certainly didn't want to happen for 2 reasons. One, I had 3 beautiful children that I was concerned about what would happen after a divorce. And then 2 was my own ego that was telling me that what will everybody else think if I can't keep my marriage together? I run a business. I own a business. I'm the CEO of the business, manage 160 people. And what would they think of somebody that can't keep their family together and lead a family? That then turned into some counseling that wasn't going so well. Then I met some people that said 2 statements here that influenced me is, we can help you save your marriage without talking about it. That was really intriguing to me. I met this set of life coaches that were catering towards men that were struggling with marriages and still do, and I'm still involved with them. That was something I wanted to hear really bad in December of 2019, rolling into January of 2020. I quickly realized that that statement, although they had great intentions behind it, they understood that this was going to be a journey about me and how I connect to other people in the world. They obviously didn't, and I didn't, and my wife didn't decide to stay married. We ended up getting divorced. Those 2 statements put me on a path that's really influenced my life, Gary. And talking about that journey is I've basically flipped my priorities completely around and have become a much better leader. And it's mostly more on instinct and connecting with others that's changed my course in leadership.
I think you just described the growth of someone in management. What I mean by that is that if someone goes into management as a supervisor, they have all these ideas about showing face or appearing to be a particular image or thinking certain things are expected that really aren't. When someone says to you, I want a divorce, that's a very humbling experience to have to go through all that. Just like you said, facing colleagues and customers and clients. It sounds like you've been through a journey that puts you in a better place to where you can be more effective on the people side, if I'm perceiving it right.
Yeah, Gary, I think that's a great point. If I were to reflect on how I manage it, and I was tenacious. I've worked hard on my knowledge and intelligence over the years to put myself in a good spot to work up the corporate ladder and ultimately own my own business and run a successful manufacturing business. it really was this image that I tried to portray. And there wasn't this, let's call it heart connection. There wasn't this connection with my team, with really anybody. And when you dig deep into it, Gary, what I found was is that in everything that I was doing, I was trying to prove myself as worthy. And so when I use that path of proving myself worthy, I'm trying to do everything but be authentic. I just don't want to make a mistake. I want to say the right things all the time. When I'm doing that, I call that the path of force. I'm trying to force things to work for me versus aligning with what's natural and connecting with people so that they're inspired by the direction that we're going. What you find out, and when you finally let your guard down, is everyone's got these things, and there's a lot more connection in the challenges and struggles that we have in life than there is in the prim and proper and saying the right thing. And when I created that connection, not only in my company, but with my kids, with other relationships such as my parents and siblings, and those types of things start to really create so much deeper connections and so much deeper meaning in life. That just transcends everything. I think there's just a spirit of how do we all help each other versus, you know, yes, I like the direction the company is going, but I'm not necessarily connected or committed to this individual and where he's going personally.
I love that expression that you just said. You let your guard down to open up the possibility of connecting with people on a deeper level. If we had people in management, if we had executives, if we had C-suite professionals who were able to do that more, it would change a company's culture.
Yeah, I've changed my development plans for my company because of this. And because of this journey, now got a life coach that I'm working with, and it brings way different perspectives than just the business coaches I've had in the past. How do you create this win-win-win environment where the person within the organization, I actually understand not only their career aspirations, I want to understand where do they want to send their kids to college? Where do they want a vacation? How many vacations do they want to take a year? What's your work-life balance? How do we work that all together and build that into a development plan? Because you want to achieve this, the company wants to achieve this. What we're doing as a company, I love our products. We're making medical devices that are helping people to get better and make their lives easier. The world wins, the company wins, and the associate of Vonco Products, which is the company I own, win. And I get to know the person at a much more individual level. Certainly, if I saw that from a business standpoint, let's call it 5-10 years ago, I get the logic of it. But now, with a heartfelt approach where my guard is down, I can be more authentic. I'm out here telling my story and be open. How do they get much more vulnerable with me? They're telling me where they want to go, and I want to help them get there. Back to the point, if there was more authentic and connecting leadership, I think we wouldn't see potentially some of this great resignation where people feel like companies don't care about them.
Part two, we care more. It's one thing to work for a company. It's another thing to work for a company where you serve a purpose. When you have purpose, you're more engaged and innovative. You're also able to accomplish the extraordinary. In this story, Keith explains how the people at his company rose to the occasion and addressed a problem that was facing the world. Here's Keith with his story.
COVID hits and shutdowns are happening in March of 2020. We're all trying to figure out if we can stay in production. We made the essential list and we continued on. We're making essential medical device products that needed to continue to get into hospital systems. We also provide consumer flexible packaging, which helped our grocery supply chain continue moving forward, which was super important. The first thing was that the team, and I have got a great leadership team, so I don't want to take all the credit. I do manage my leadership team. When they get together with me, I call my business advisors. I don't care what your title is or what your control is on a day-to-day basis, but when you're all together, we're business advisors. We're all advising Vonco. If you're not in sales, you can talk about sales. We had a great team of about 7 individuals that all rallied together to, one, keep our employees safe. We implemented about 31 new practices within about 30 days to try to make sure that we did not cause any spread of COVID around the facility. After that was procured and done, all the devices and things installed within 30 days, we did have this outbreak still, and we did ultimately find out it was somewhat of a gathering outside, but it was one of these situations, what do you do? There was 3 people that got sick, then there was 5, then there was 7 out of, let's call it 150 people. We went into full shutdown mode to protect our associates. I thought the team did the right thing by our employees, and I still stand by that. It was great, even though we did ultimately find out it wasn't being spread in the facility. We had everybody get tested to make sure they could come back, and within about a week or so, we were back to full production. And then it was like, how do we help? And that was the rally cry that we switched to during COVID, is where can we take some of our devices and products and actually help? We got involved with some of the manufacturing alliances of where the shortages all of a sudden started to occur, started to get these lists of things that there were shortages on, especially within the hospital system. The team decided that we could best help by making isolation gowns. You might have recalled and saw some of the reports and videos of nurses and doctors and garbage bags. I mean, they just needed something because they were running out of supply. And obviously, we still didn't know how COVID was being transferred. So it was very concerning. And so within 6 weeks, the team rallied around that and converted some of our production equipment to put isolation gowns into many of the hospitals around the Illinois hospital system. So much that the team won Wisconsin Manufacturer of the Year for our quick response and transition to help out in that situation. Really, what I look at there is being on your toes, being very adaptable. It would have been easy to kind of say, hey, we need to hunker down, we need to shut down. But not just my leadership team, but the entire company rallied around. We would have weekly update meetings, one around COVID and one where we're helping the situation. Examples from the hospital system telling us their appreciation for what we did and how quickly we did it.
Your company was in a position to where the employees, the management, the executives were able to contribute to the innovation that it could not have been done if you and a couple of others said, okay, this is what we're going to do. It was really an effort at all levels of the organization to be able to make that quick transition to make those isolation gowns. In certain cultures, that would not work because of the type of environment you have that enables people to be creative. It changes everything.
Yeah, it was wonderful. I mean, first of all, just to scour that list with the team and say, where can we insert ourselves to help? Our core value, Gary, is we care more. And so this just fit us perfectly and say, look, where can we help? Where can we care about the challenges that are facing our nation? And to go through that list and say, these are areas that, will it be a struggle? Yes. But can we do it? Yes. There was no turning back. I mean, everybody was on that mission. It was just so inspiring to see the team rally around, how do we help this situation, right? Everybody's watching the news and it's on there 24/7 of all the challenges that people are facing. My general sense there was that, you know, it's just not the American culture to sit down in crisis. They really want to figure out how do we help in crisis. My company epitomizes that value and nobody wanted to sit idle. How do we get involved and help the situation?
Part 3, Flip It. There's a few ways we can live our lives. We could, for example, see what happens and just sort of figure it out as we go. Or we could live our lives using guiding principles. Keith illustrates this and offers some advice. He does this by explaining prioritizations. Again, here's Keith.
Business was my priority. My goal prior to a little bit of an awakening here in the last few years was that at some point, everything will be good when I build my business to the level I want to build it. I was doing that for 20 years. I didn't own my own business at all that time, but I was climbing that corporate ladder. So this is advice goes to really anybody that's very career oriented. You can get lost in that. It builds a ton of self-worth. You get a lot of recognition through your work. And it's not a bad thing if prioritized properly. And I would say that I learned from me, I guess I would say, is that I didn't prioritize it properly. There's a lot of other wonderful things in life that actually make you a better leader on a day-to-day basis. And that's where business was first for me. And I would get to the other things like self-development and my health and my relationships after I was done with my business. Typically, whether I was there a lot of hours and I just completely missed my family or missed the opportunity to work out, even if I did go home at a regular time, I was drained. I did not have the energy to really commit and pour into these other parts of life. The transition for me, Gary, was to focus on myself first and focus on my health. So before I even get to work, I'm already have spent a lot of time on my own self-development. I block out a lot of time on my calendar during the week to pour into myself on sometimes business, but a lot of other areas of where I can continue to develop. And this might be relationships. This might be my own health. This might be giving back to the world. And so all these areas I pour into before business. Don't get me wrong. I spend a lot of time still at business, but before I get to business, I've spent time in all these other areas, self, health, relationships, abundance. It keeps me rooted and grounded to make good decisions and connect with the people around me. And that creates more value than I've ever seen in my entire career with a lot of the business textbooks and research that's out there.
What good are we to other people if we're not taking care of our health, our relationships? I think you're absolutely right. How you prioritize work, which can take 100% of your time, you cannot do everything you need to do with work. There's always more to do. The realization, your transition to recognize that you need to spend time and effort in some of these other parts is very insightful. So by the time you're starting your day, sounds like your morning routine is regimented so well that you've done some work on exercising and spending time with people that are important to you.
That's exactly right, Gary. Even just putting on a podcast or a YouTube on things that will inspire and motivate you and remind you of your power and your opportunities that are out there and how important connection with other people is. All that happens before I walk in the office. And again, it's back to the metaphor of the cups overflowing. So you're a joy to be around, not someone knocks on your door and you're like, ah. What else is wrong today? Right? It's how can I help you? You know, what's on your mind? It's just a different mindset and a different spot to start from where your cup's overflowing into other people and then it's overflowing into their people. It's an amazing feeling in a culture.
There is so much to be said about stewardship, and that is just giving back to other people that you don't even know by doing things like you're doing right now with a podcast and sharing your insights from your life to complete strangers all over the world. I think it's an incredible gift when people do that.
Yeah, it's very helpful. You know, you kind of teach or talk about things that you need in your own life. And I've needed this, and it's great to give back, but it helps me. If I'm going to preach about it, it solidifies these disciplines in my life as well. It's helpful for me too, Gary.
My thanks to Keith Smith. If you'd like to learn more about Keith, go to the show notes. And if you have a question or comment, go to unlabeledleadership.com, click the message icon, and leave a voicemail message for up to 1 minute. I'd like to thank those who donate to the show. Your contributions makes a difference because this is an all-volunteer service. I'd like to thank you for listening. This is Gary DePaul. Until next time, lead on.